Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show on RadioAlice.com. Just a heads up, it's not for work, it's not for kids, but it is a good time. Available right here on RadioAlice.com.
You only hear it on the Secret Show. You won't find it on your radio. Oh, maybe you're not hip enough to know that Sarah and Vinny's got a secret show.
That speech
but
is in the film.
That's the guy, right?
That's in the film.
That's in the film. It's a propaganda. It was a lie. It was a lie. It was a propaganda because he was trying to pump everyone up. That was when they were losing. He went on the radio and went on to lie because they were getting their asses kicked.
Well, that's when you started to say that was part of the film, that specific part. Yeah. I went, oh, that.
So he was making.
That's
so
when the speech.
Right. Their radio was our TV and internet. So they were all gathering radio, and there's an amazing scene. You remember that where the red light goes on, he's addressing the nation and he's lying and it's all lies and people know, and then it's starting to leak out that it's not going well, and he's saying it's going well, we're going to fight, everything's going to be fine, fight, we're going to be fine, and they're lying. It's a heavy moment. That red light was on, really beautifully done.
The pressure.
Cool. Yeah, the pressure. It was
the
pressure.
Red light's on, go.
And then you listen to.
Alright, anyway, I was just curious. Introduce us.
Oh, it's the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show for Thursday the 16th. Oh, yeah. How could I ever forget? It's one day into Hooman's birthday period.
Thank you so much.
Right. November 16th. It's a Thursday, 2017. Sarah and Vinny with our special guest, Tommy Igo, here in the studio. Vaughn is recording us and marking all the bleeps. And Yuzette, she's doing something, or she's in a call.
She's busy, yeah.
Yeah, so Hooman is producing from the other room. This. Great job.
Tommy, let me ask you something.
Oh, boy.
So you're a musician, lifetime.
Yes.
So at what age did you have your first orgy?
So that's just
so we're just assuming you have
but we just mean by more than one.
Yeah.
Oh, so a menage a trois would count as an orgy.
Well, sure. I mean, I think
an orgy's four or more.
All right. What was your first orgy?
Man, you know, it wasn't
tell
like
tell the truth for once.
What do you mean tell the truth for once?
You heard me. I see you shopping around in your brain for some.
Well, because
kind of
you know what? Believe it or not, I don't think about. I don't think about it. I don't. But then he gets me thinking, and now I'm thinking, and I'm trying to think.
Well, you've lived quite. Artists take great chances when they pursue their hopes and dreams. With that comes great moments of incredible opportunity that none of us will ever experience.
Us mere mortals.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was early. Well, what is early? Is 23 early? It was early 20s.
Your early 20s.
Yeah, in New York.
So you're confirming that this for sure happened, more than four people. How many people would you say were writhing around in this orgy?
Well, it was totally unplanned. It was that.
The best ones always
are. It was like, it was like, and it was after a show, and this. And
right.
It was a hit and run. It was one time, and it was that she took me back to her place, which is in, I remember, oh my God, it's coming back. It's on 56 between 9th and 10th. Oh. And I remember because I walked, and it was like she had, it was period when before New York got safer, So she had like five, she had like, five locks on her thing, and she did the trick where she locked only every other one.
Oh.
So if somebody came in and picked them, they'd actually be locking two.
Oh.
It was like a trick. Yeah. So they
That's really neat.
Yeah, they did. I remember that so clearly now.
Did she have that bar too that was, you know, that they would have like a seat for it in, the, in the ground and it would
No, but I had that thing in my car, the red bar on my wheel.
Low jack.
What was that called?
Not low jack. What was that called?
The wheel lock. Yeah. It was
a,
every man,
a
they made bazillions on that thing.
Well, and they were great.
Yeah, because well, but in New York, they saw the wheel.
They saw the wheel off, and then you just pulled that out of there.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was just like one more deterrent, but, you know, whatever.
Slow you down a little bit.
Yeah.
So 23.
It was after a show. It was after a show at the Bitter End, and we were playing in this, like, you know, some kind of rock band with a singer-songwriter or something like that. She was there, and we just, like, it was like, you know, one of those things. It was like, oh, let's go. We got back, and she had roommates.
How many?
Three. And
so it's, we're talking a five-man, a one-man,
no,
five-person orgy.
It was, they, there was...
Oh, there were other men there.
Well, there was another dude, and it was totally cool, because he was, like, totally just into this, his, what he was doing. And it was like, and it was just, and it was like a, not really bedrooms. It was like, kind of like a room with, like, like they put up curtains, you know, the wardrobe thing, you know, the thing on the rack.
Uh-huh.
That was their separation privacy thing. And, you know, they said, oh, screw this. And they knocked them all down. It just became this one thing.
Nice.
Yeah. It was one and done. Never saw her again. Thanks for making me remember that.
Sure. Think about it all day, Tommy.
56th Street.
Here's another question for you. So you just mentioned something that I was going to go to for sure. So you said it was like a rock band at the Bitter End, which the Bitter End was like a, was that a punk club?
It's No. It's still there. It's a legendary up-and-coming place. But also it has...
Baby bands play there.
You know, Carole King used to play there. Gaga played there when she was... Before anyone knew who she was. She played,
really?
Oh, yeah. She played shows there. It was like, you know, her and a keyboard and one of her girlfriends doing... It's some great video of her. Like, so it's like the famous brick wall, you know, the background. It's a very skinny little stage. It's a tiny club. It's been there forever. Most of the... Anybody who's anyone has come through New York has played the Bitter End when they were nobody.
So you are trained as a jazz drummer, but you're playing different with different people, probably for the fun of it or for some cash, right?
Yeah, it's just, well, I mean, I'm a jazz drummer as much as I am anything else. I'm not a purist. I'm a music guy. Like, I grew up playing jazz, and then my sisters introduced me to rock and roll through Peter Frampton, the Stones, and the Beatles.
Right.
We just had a conversation
upstairs about how I want to do a Rush tribute band, and he's got to learn all the Rush songs. He was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But you're like learning. I know the tunes, but like learning Neil
Peart's
licks.
You got to get that perfect. If you're going to do a Rush tribute band, every freaking drum hit has to be perfect.
No, because everyone knows those licks.
Right.
Those licks are part of the tunes.
Right.
Well, anyone who's grown up in a neighborhood with a drummer in the neighborhood hears that drummer practicing the Rush songs. And if you ever went to their house, there they are with the headphones on, drumming loudly to those songs.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, okay. But what... Let me see. How do I word this? How come you didn't decide to go get the easy money in rock music? You must have had opportunities or had other bands try to poach you and be like, dude, come drum for us. We're going on tour. You could make millions this way. Not that you don't already make money, but...
No, it's
what bands did you say no to? Be honest, for once.
I cannot do this. I can't make this, because there's guys who have the gig right now, and I can't be like, oh, that's such a douchey thing to do.
You
had your job because I said no. I'm not going to be... I can't be that guy.
You were a drummer for hire. You did 10 years on the road with Garfunkel.
Yeah, I was
You did?
Yeah, or Garfunkel. Yeah,
don't you think Tom Selleck looks at Harrison Ford and says, you got that Indiana role because I couldn't do it?
I said no.
Right. You know, there's a guy... Do you guys know about the guy? Let's talk about drummers real quick. So there's a guy who has made his... And he doesn't... It's so sad because he doesn't have to do this. He's a famous, amazing drummer who played on a bunch of different hits. His name is Bernard Purdy. And he played... He played a bunch of Steely Dan
like
stuff.
Guy.
Yeah, session, exactly. A session guy played on bazillions of tunes that you know. And he, for some reason, made this thing. Like, he said, well, I played on all the Beatles tracks. Yeah. It was like a secret thing. Like, he would say it, and then, like, people were like, okay, well, you know, it's just Bernard being Bernard. And then he would say it over and over and over. And as he got older, he kept saying it more and more. And it became like a thing, like a big thing. And then finally, somebody said to George Martin, hey, is it true that Bernard Purdy? He said, who?
He was just popping off.
Right. He was just popping off. Like, he is totally a lie. And there's like that kind of stuff happens.
Do you think he told that lie so much that he started to believe it?
I think that is actually what happened. He says, you know, Ringo could have never played that stuff. And I did it. You know, and it's like, why would you do that? You don't. The one thing you don't touch legends. Don't touch them. Don't touch the untouchable.
Touch the things that can't be substantiated. If you got to tell a lie,
there probably weren't enough older people in the room to say, no, you weren't.
Right.
Clearly, he was able to get away with saying it for a while.
So they went to Sir George Martin, and they said, you know, and he was just like, who's, and he's like, who? And it was like, oh, no. And then Paul came out and said it. It was just, oh, it's like, don't do that. So I'm not going to be that guy to say that. But so to answer your question, I get bored easily. I like being a chameleon. I've always have. I like playing in lots of different situations. I can't do one thing. Like, if I was on the road playing
even
with one band,
big money,
I'd turn big money down. I would rather have the career I want than a fat bank account and be miserable. So I'm fine. Like, I make a living. Look, I made a decision.
Musician.
Yeah, I made a decision that I am going to be the artist that I want to be, and it was, you know, it's painful to think about sometimes. Like,
well, because the money can be absolutely,
you know, I got friends of mine who
obnoxious.
Live, right, I got friends of mine who live to be arena musicians. They want to be that guy. Now, those arenas are the worst places to play. They are fishbowls. They, like, you know, it's like, especially if it just go, you know, that's not a lot of artistic satisfaction playing in an arena for, like, music. But you get your ego stroked when 50,000 people are screaming and they're going, rah! That never did it for me. That wasn't what did it. It's always been about having varied and awesome experiences.
My hand's up.
Go.
Have you ever played Madison Square Garden?
I have, actually. As a part of a tribute. It was a benefit fundraiser. And I was part of a band that was playing behind a bunch of stars who came out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was like, and it was, it was great.
Well, you're a New York guy, right?
It was great, you know? And, like, you know, I got a friend of mine who's been playing drums for Shakira for, like, the last 15 years. And every time he comes through, he's at the Garden. And it's
so,
like,
he does all that Latin stuff.
Right. And I'm right behind him and just watching him and stuff like that. And so he was my old student, and he's gone on to just have that career. The one that you're talking about, he has that career. So he's platinum on, like, four different airlines. He sees this kid, you know, a few times.
Never.
You know, it's hard. It's like I respect him so much, but that's his career. He's made that choice. He's the pop guy.
Right.
And he goes for hire. He plays with Tegan and Sarah,
mm-hmm.
right? He goes out with them for, like, 6 months. He goes out with Shakira for, you know, another four. Comes back, does a couple gigs, goes back out. That's his life. And that's what I definitely did not want.
Huh.
And you've actually got kind of a unique situation because you also wanted to be the band leader. And you, if you've never seen Tommy's show, and I know you have,
yeah.
He is, when you think of the drummer, you think of the guy sitting at the back of the stage with musicians in front of him. And no, it's Tommy front and center leading the band behind him. It's a, you know, tons of horns, but you've also got a keyboard player, guitar player, bass player. Like, it's a, you guys are able to pull off a ton of stuff.
You know, it's just kind of reversing the formula, putting the rhythm section up front and the horns behind. You know, it's like, you know, so that's...
You're not just sitting there playing.
12 years ago, I decided that I am sick of being a sideman. You know, now you two guys are leaders. So you are leaders. You lead this thing. You live it every day. And you have the personalities to pull it off. So do I. And I decided that I could not do both. So I quit all sideman stuff for higher work, basically. I just, you know, that's gone. I was only going to lead.
Even if it's easy money, you're like, nope.
I just can't do both.
Does it chap your hide when we put the drum set at the back when the very few gigs you've played with us?
Oh, God, no. I love playing with you. Stop it. Because I love you and I love what we do. Just because that's a perfect example to me. That was like playing the Bitter End. You did the Bitter End with these bands because it was fun and you had a great time and you dug the people. And sometimes you just dug the songs that some guy was trying to write. And there was like a bunch of songwriters. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to play these songs because these songs are great. They deserve to be heard. And it was like, you get $25. You know, you get you, and you know, you bring your stuff down there. It's like it's lug and it, you lug it out, right. And it's just like, and then at the end,
and the
you
drummer,
get,
that's you no get a joke,
20,
man.
You get a $20 bill and a $5 bill at the end. And you're like,
oh, well, go to the bar or something,
well,
right?
Yeah. It's like,
and,
it's,
and it was worth it because, you know, that's what we signed up for.
So I don't pretend to know a lot about music, but you do hear people talk about how a good drummer can make a band pretty good, but a bad drummer.
Wow, good job. Keep going.
Well,
this is a famous quote that you're saying. This
well,
is,
so
this is a famous quote,
right,
from Buddy Rich.
So wait, but here's the thing. So, and I take guitar lessons, or I've had to take a break from it. But one of, and I, he's a jazz guy, and he's like, well, these chords, we call them cowboy chords. They're what I want you to start learning is some suspended nines and some other stuff. And it's because there's such a higher level of study and talent, and it would be nothing for most jazz musicians to go do rock.
Right, like it would be boring.
Right, but it would be the easiest money, and it would be, you could even start your own rock band. Plenty of drummers have. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Yeah, but does the world need another, like, rock band by, like, it's, you know, so it's really funny that you mentioned that, because everybody says, you know, you have this really large vocabulary when you're playing jazz music, you know, chops, speed, you know, chord right. structure, all that stuff. And then when you go to rock, a lot of times you don't use all those things. But there's a different discipline for rock, and that is not playing too much. And, you know, rock, there's a real art to playing appropriately and not overplaying and putting like dominant sevens when it's supposed to be just a major triad. And I learned this the hard way by recommending a couple of friends of mine for gigs, and they couldn't turn that stuff off.
They couldn't leave space.
No. So when I get behind, when I'm in a rock band, I just like, I turn my sticks over, I'm playing with clubs, and I'm, and I'm, you know, it's like, I changed, like, you know how you're wearing your, so Vinny's wearing his hat backwards right
yeah.
now. That's what it's like. So when I have my jazz thing, I have my hat on this way, and when I do my rock thing, I turn my hat on the other way, and
got
I'm a
it.
Different musician. And a lot of musicians can't do that. They can just do what they do.
So it's not dumbing it down, it's
no.
playing with different parameters.
Exactly, 100%. It's and also there's, I believe there's like, you know, we do those 80s, you know, we do Sarah's 80s power hits, you know, when we do her songs and stuff. Those, yeah, like, you know, it's like that's her home, that's her comfort zone. And there's
and thanks for doing that.
Yeah, and it's great, but to play them right is like, you know me, like I chart the stuff out,
oh,
I have
yeah.
it ready, I have the fills ready. It's like, to me,
he gets pissed when if someone shows up at rehearsal and they don't like know the song called, he's just like,
oh, boy.
It's like, I'll just wait until you guys get this figured out.
Well, one thing I've noticed, because I read a lot about current musicians, a lot of metal bands, which are, they're very technical, they always go poach jazz drummers.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, this guy has, yeah. he's better than us.
Yeah, those drummers, you know, the speed metal guys, like, they're like freaks of nature. Like, I mean, that might be all they can do. But holy crap, they can do that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, a lot of guys were like, yeah, man, that's all they can do, like, whatever. And I'm like, man, give it up for this dude. That's his trick.
Do what you do well.
That's his trick.
Right.
Let's see you do it. Can you do it? I can't do that. I don't want to do that, but that's not the point. He does it. Give props. Give yeah. props, man. It's cool. I don't know what I'm saying, but it's really, really low, and I'm making an evil sound.
Death. Let's start a screamo band. All right, you guys want to get to some bad
yeah.
advice?
Oh my god, then we got to a bad advice.
Nope.
Shut
what?
Up, hey! Hey!
What are you doing over there?
Get down here till just now.
She's been here the whole time. She's taking notes on the show. She's logging the show.
Get
out of here.
How hard she's working. You guys want to wrap it up, or what are we doing?
No, I want to do some bad advice.
We haven't even done a thing yet.
You know what? I actually have a couple great bad advices.
Look at them cracking themselves up in there.
Oh, good for you. Laugh it up, funny boy. Okay.
If we yell happy birthday, Hooman, he'll be all, what? I'm back. Here I am.
Happy birthday, Hooman. We're watching
my birthday. There you go. That's how you get him plugged in.
I'm right here on
the
mic.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, you guys.
All right, here we go. This is from.
All right, quickly.
Well, It sounds like a made-up name, so I guess I'll go for it. Oh, she says right here, don't say my name.
Edit that out.
Edit that out.
Got it.
I need bad advice from everyone, especially the straight dudes on the show, regarding trying to date using the apps. I am currently on Bumble, and while I like that women have the initiating power, it doesn't seem to be serving me well. I have right-swiped on many men, and in turn, many have done the same for me. I always message them right away, since that's the purpose of being on this damn thing. Don't be a duz, Vinny would say. So all I can think of is that I am saying the wrong thing when I send the first message, because the last several times I've messaged someone, he then unmatches me, which is a total bummer. I get pretty excited about being matched to begin with, because I really want to get laid, but it's a real downer when I can't even start a dialogue because he's unmatched me by the time I log back in to see if he's responded. So far, I've tried a few different ways of approaching the guy in order to test my angles, and all three have gotten rejected. First, I tried just saying, hi, so-and-so, and then asking them one question. Yes, only one. That shows them I read and paid attention to their profile, and I'm curious about them. I'm deleted.
Go on.
I think it's going very well. Go ahead.
The second approach is I say, hi, so-and-so, and then I ask, how's your week? Or something very casual. I'm deleted. The third approach is I say, hi, so-and-so, and then I ask, would you like to go have coffee or a drink? I'm effing deleted. What the Chuck?
Did she really write that?
WTF, Chuck.
Oh.
All right, I'll start.
We're not done.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what to do. I'm at a loss. I need feedback from the guys on the show about the best way to approach the guys who swipe right on me so that we are able to eventually have a convo and meet. What approach / words / phrases are men looking for? I actually...
Sarah, why don't you say that out loud?
What was the sign language?
They're looking for a shot of your...
Yeah.
They're dudes. I actually read one, which is, I'm not saying that you should do that, but believe me, that'll get you not deleted. I actually
read... Well, depends.
Right. I mean, how are your boobs?
Yeah, hello.
Find some cute pair online. I actually read one guy's profile that specifically said, don't just say hi, which I've never done, so I'm confused as to how to move forward. I'm trying not to get too frustrated and impatient, but I am frustrated and seriously want to do more meeting and less swiping / unmatching. Help. Oh, and P.S. Other than RedTube, what's another legit porn site?
Oh.
Pornhub.com?
Oh, sure. My goodness.
Start there.
Yeah.
Got one, Tommy, you want to throw in there?
Well, Pornhub's the central location.
That's the one.
Yeah.
All things lead off of that.
What do you say to her?
How should she start to not get deleted?
You know, how are her pictures, first of all? I'd love to see what they are, see if they're alluring. And if she's getting matched in the first time, so they're swiping right on her, how about don't be the first one? Let the guy say something first. Like, silence is sometimes very alluring when you get matched. And if it's like hi, like too fast.
I would say at least wait a day.
I think she points out.
Oh, the girl talks first.
The girl talks. So let me chime in here. I think you should just get on as many dating apps as you can. I don't know why you're limited to just Bumble.
She likes it because it's girls.
I know, but it's not working.
Oh, the girls have to initiate the thing. They have to initiate.
You know, I like a lot of things too. If they're not working, you got to go to something.
I'm out of it. I don't know.
Human's not wrong in this, and I've known men who are great at dating a lot of women. And you know how they do that? They just fish with a giant net. So she's talking about three people.
Mm-hmm.
That's her survey pool. You need to get a much bigger pool going. Right. And it may sound like too much work, but that's how you're going to really catch someone great. He's saying it, doing it on different apps. Either way you do it, you need to just get a bigger... I know guys who would hit on 10 girls walking to the bathroom at a bar.
Right. Carcass is carcass, just, man. If one of them says yes.
Yeah. And because they don't have any shame, they'll find that getting rejected to them doesn't mean nothing. They're Teflon. They just go to the next one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think, too, that, you know, why do you have to, like, mentally beat yourself up with all these different techniques? Like... If you like the guy, I do think, you know, the second you get a match is the wrong time to, you know, seems like you're just waiting.
No, you were right about that.
Like, that's give it 24 hours.
Well, yeah, I forgot that this was the site the woman has to initiate first, mm-hmm. right?
So I've never... still, wait for a minute.
Yeah, maybe she is. I don't know. It's also, you know, listen, it's let's not kid ourselves. This is all about, like, you're looking at pictures and you're reacting primally. like on what, like if this is a primal reaction. It's like, ooh, my juices are flowing. There's something alluring there. Sometimes it's an X factor that you can't put your eye on. It's like, you know, maybe change up your photos a bit. You know,
you're making it. I'm actually, as I'm thinking about this, maybe the photo is the thing because I have heard
it's
that
all,
dudes
all,
just
the
go,
thing.
They just swipe right on anybody that
just
answers
said it.
Them.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so maybe then you answer them and they go back and look more closely at your profile and they don't, bounce. They're not crazy about the pictures.
Right.
Or they read your profile more in depth and that's when they say, no.
Get off of Bumble.
I just think, look, this is what I would get from that instant reaction. Like, I just matched her thing and she's already written me. Is this person is way too eager and way too on it. Like, it makes guys, we've all dated that girl who's like, so do you want to get married? Because I do. We're just having dinner, man. I don't even want to hear that word for a long time.
I want to tell this lady, please go on. HAPPN, happen, coffee meets bagel, Zoosk, ZOSK, and OKCupid.
And Tinder.
Well, and Tinder. But Tinder is to F. If you just want to F, that's what Tinder is.
Well, she
about.
Says she just wants to F.
All right, then go on Tinder. You're on the wrong one, lady.
Yeah.
Ask
yeah,
her
Bumble, I've never even really.
No, I've heard of that.
I remember that when it was coming out. It was a big thing that had a big investor around.
Because it was
female. It was female driven. Started by women, for women, and women initiate the contact. I remember the big investor around for that.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's not working for you. So I say take a look at the pictures, give it a 24-hour window, and then just, you know, be yourself.
I was on every dating site you can imagine for 6 weeks after my. I was before I met Aaron. For 6 weeks.
Your divorce was over and
it was actually happening. The divorce
right
was happening.
After you got divorced. So you went
No,
through...
divorce was happening. It was like after we had split, it was done. Divorce was in process.
Right.
I was like, man.
Oh, you wanted to be hooked back up.
No, well, I wanted to hook up
right.
And see what was going on. Like it had been like, you know, it'd been a long time since I was a free agent. And there, these things, when I got married, there was none of these things even available.
I know, they're so,
so
cool.
So I couldn't
they?
Wait. I was just like, bam. I put that stuff up there like, bam, the next day. And it was 6 weeks of a very interesting case study. Oh. A lot of data.
Did
a lot
you get
of data
laid
collected.
A lot?
Wait. And then you met the girl you're going to marry in six weeks
later?
Yeah. No, at a bar. He met her at a bar.
No, I got you, but I'm just saying. So you were really only on the dating scene for about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so
was it
hold
so
on.
Horrible that you were like that? For you know, you meet Erin, you're like, she's quality. I'm keeping her. I gotta get off.
That was just like as far as like you know having the whole package together. You've met Erin, you know. So it's like you know the whole package. Yeah, I'm tough.
Was it so horrible on the dating sites that when like a legit girl came along, you were like, well, enough of that.
You know what? It became obvious. It's a lot of work.
Dating is for sure.
It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work. There's people. I mean, and.
Is it worth it?
No.
It can be super fun.
It can be super fun. I mean, if I didn't meet Erin or if I didn't meet like somebody who was like, I was totally like, you know, happening with, I'd still be on there because it was fun. And
do you want to tell us one crazy raunchy story and then we can wrap it up?
One crazy raunchy story?
Yeah, one crazy raunchy
story. Wait, before you tell the story, I just have to ask this. So you're just in the middle of this divorce. And was it the most amicable divorce of all time? Because there you are already ready to date again?
No, it was not amicable at all, and I just didn't care.
Oh!
It was a divorce. It was done. And the only thing was left was paperwork and waiting. Because you got to wait 6 months after you file and stuff like that when it goes into California.
And you were like, I'm going to get laid.
No, it was like, I was like, and just what's going on out
right.
there? Like, I've never
heard
looked
so much about this stuff.
Right. I mean, I was like, not.
Over
single.
It. Single. You're just over it, right?
Oh, totally. And there I was just go. Like, and all right, so you want to know the best story? Okay. So it's OKCupid. And
yeah,
OKCupid, by the way, is awesome. That was probably my favorite one. Yeah, it was like a good combination of freak and non-freak. It was good.
So what happened?
All right, I was on.
Let me guess. You got a freak.
No. It was even better. Check it out. So, like, at this point, no one even knew I was getting divorced. And
whoa.
And you know, it comes up to this local, and then people know you, and they see, this woman gets in touch, basically goes, what are you doing on here? And I said, you didn't hear, but, you know, we're divorcing, and I'm, you know, and she goes, really? And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, I'm not interested in you, but she goes, but I love women. So when you hook up with a hottie, get in touch with me.
Ah,
and that's what happened.
She was like, I'm not interested in you alone, yeah. But if you hook up with,
she and goes, you want to do a three way,
yes, that's what her, that she was like, put it right out there. And the funny, she was just coming off of, she wasn't married, she was in a 10-year thing living together, and they had just moved out like a week before my thing.
Is she hot?
Totally.
So what happened?
Nothing.
You didn't do her. You didn't do her.
Nothing, because she hooked up with the person she eventually married.
Oh.
It just became a lockdown kind of thing. Yeah, I know. It never, you know. And she was hot, so I was like, I can't just present anyone. It's like, she made it clear. It's like it's going to be banging, you know, right. Kind of thing. And I was just like...
I gotta hurry up and get someone on the line here, man.
Like, I was motivated, man. I was like swiping right on every hot air. I was like, check it out.
All right. Thanks for the letters. Sarah or Vinny at RadioAlice.com. We have a bunch of other good ones, but please always send them. We read them all and try to get to them as fast as we can. Tommy Igo, thank you so much.
Great job, buddy. It went way too fast.
TommyIgo.com. And now we're off to celebrate Hooman's birthday.
Lucky you guys.
So excited. Hot ass Danielle's going to meet up with us. It's always a party when she's around. We'll see you. Oh, and we're off next week. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Yep. And we'll see you the week after that.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.